Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. Today and all this week, we have been looking at important and challenging passages from the book of Revelation. Today, I'd like to focus on the woman who is found in Revelation chapter 12, and we'll read the first six verses. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor pain and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fire-red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So as we come to Revelation chapter 12 here, there's primarily four different identifications as to who this woman is. First of all, covenant theologians who do not believe that there's going to be a literal 7-year tribulation period upon the earth and are also amillennial, which means they do not believe there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, believe that the woman is primarily the church. J.A. Sice, one of the proponents of this view, writes, "The woman is the invisible church and the child is the visible church." Now, the problem with this viewpoint, or actually in this way of interpreting the Bible, is that they don't use the Old Testament as a basis to help interpret New Testament prophecy. And oftentimes, there's many clues given to us in the Old Testament as to the meaning of many of these symbols in the book of Revelation. Because anyone could come along and say, well, this symbol is this, and this means that, and they have no authority to do so other than, well, it's their insight and their ability to interpret the passage. I think it's much safer to go back to the Old Testament and try and find these symbols found somewhere in the Old Testament to give us our understanding. Another viewpoint, which we won't really take too much time to deal with, is the viewpoint that the Roman Catholic Church believes that this is Mary, a picture of Mary. The third viewpoint within the church is that the male child is the church, and this is actually where the rapture of the church takes place. And they use for support that the word caught up in verse 5, which says, "And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne," is the same Greek term, harpazo, which is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, which definitely discusses the rapture of the church. So they would put those two terms together and say, see, this is when the church is raptured up to heaven, and then we rule and reign with the Lord at that point. Now, the problem with that is that a word only has meaning in light of its context. Because also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, where Paul says he was caught up to the third heaven, it's the same Greek word harpazo, and we definitely know that doesn't mean it's the rapture. It just means a catching up or a taking away. And that's what it means in this context. It's a point where the Lord ascends up to heaven. And the fourth viewpoint is that the woman is the nation of Israel. And I believe that that could be proven pretty clearly based on the Old Testament scriptures, primarily from Genesis chapter 37, verse 9 and following. Now, let me read verse 1 again of the description of this woman, and we'll also see the same symbols found in the book of Genesis. It says, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." Now, Joseph has some dreams in the Old Testament recorded for us in Genesis 37. Starting there at verse 9, it says, "Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind." So Jacob interprets this dream to apply to himself and to his children. And that's why there's 11 stars here recorded in verse 9 of the dream that Joseph had, because he would have been the 12th star. So I think it's pretty clear to apply Genesis 37, verse 9, where Jacob applies it to himself. Remember, he was the man whose name was changed to Israel, and his children became the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And now when we come to Revelation chapter 12, and you see the sun and the moon and the stars, it's pretty clear that what we have here is a picture of the nation of Israel during the tribulation period, who the devil's going to want to persecute and want to bring harm to, yet God is going to preserve them for the last 3.5 years. So in verse 1, it's a picture of the nation of Israel, and the rest of the passage makes sense when that is understood. "Then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth, And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fire red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. This is no doubt the devil. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. So a third of the angels rebelled with the devil at some point in the past. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour a child as soon as it was born. And we see this recorded for us in Matthew chapter 2, where Herod had all the babies killed in that area, trying to seek out and kill the baby that was born as the Messiah. Verse 5, and she bore a child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne, speaking of the ascension. And this child is the one that's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. This is also supported for us in Psalm chapter 2 very clearly, which reads this way. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves against the rulers. They take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. No doubt that's an application to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who will rule all nations with a rod of iron, with a firm, righteous, and holy hand. And so here, verse 5 speaks of Christ, who's going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. He's the one that was caught up to God. Then verse 6 brings us back to that point in the tribulation period where the devil now is going to try and come and persecute the nation of Israel, which reads, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And two verses primarily help us understand what this is, fleeing out into the wilderness for 1,260 days. Once again, that's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And interesting enough, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 15 and following these words, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, no ever shall be. That's the point where Jesus tells the Israelites to flee out into the wilderness. This is also supported in Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 and 41, the reference to Edom, Moab, and Ammon as the desolate places where Israel will flee into. One other passage that clearly predicts this is Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 1. And this is that passage which relates to where Petra is, where actually in the mountains there was built a city, the rock city of Petra. And that is where the Israelites will most likely flee out to during this time of tribulation, during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And Isaiah 16, verse 1 and following reads this way, send the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah, and that's where Petra would have been located, to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall she be the daughters of Moab at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment. Make your shadow like the night in the middle of the night. Hide the outcast. Do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcast dwell with you, O Moab. So God's calling out to Moab prophetically to receive these Israelites that will flee out into the wilderness during this tribulation period. Then it goes on to say, be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at hand. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. So here it speaks to that point where Israel will flee out into the wilderness and be protected there in Moab, and God's calling out to them to receive them and not to cast them out. Later on in Revelation chapter 12, it describes this event that'll take place. Starting at verse 13 to the end of the chapter, it speaks of God's protection. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And this will happen during the tribulation period when God kicks Satan out of heaven for good. He'll come down to the earth and he'll persecute the nation of Israel. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. That's another way of saying 3.5 years. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keeps the commandments of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. So what we have here is prophetically, during the tribulation period, God's going to preserve a remnant that'll flee out into the wilderness once they see the abomination of desolation, the point the Antichrist wants to be worshipped as God. At that point, Jesus said, you need to flee out into the wilderness, head out for the hills. And God says, I'm going to protect this group of people that the devil will try and persecute. He won't be able to get to that group. So he's going to go back to the nation of Israel and persecute all those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, described the tribulation period as a time of Jacob's trouble. So all this fits together once you get the proper interpretation of who the woman is in Revelation chapter 12.